Bhagavad Gita is a book of mankind's collected experience of and answers to life's most basic questions. Who I am? From where do I come? What is my purpose and destiny? And most practically, how do I find happiness? These podcasts originate in the lectures of Neil Bhatt, a disciple of Swami Chinmayananda. They are presented here in 20 to 30 minute segments, each covering three of the Gita's 701 verses. Welcome to Gita Wisdom for Daily Living.
So far, we have discussed almost up to the end of the chapter 9. And chapter 9, again, to remind ourselves, it's a royal secret, Rajavidya Rajaguhyogo Nama. It's the royal knowledge and royal secret. So, something which we have been discussing, the nature of the Lord. The Lord himself gives out his own identity. As we have seen in the first six chapters, our identity, who we are as the individual beings, what our constitution is, how we should be functioning in this world so that we can realize our own self. And then into what is that our self, the great supreme self, which we say Bhagwan, what is the nature of that we had been seeing since chapter 7. In the ninth chapter, where Bhagwan says, let me tell you the secret, which I'm telling you because you are my dear devotee and a disciple. Because you are not the one who cavil. You are not the one who asks some petty arguments about things. You're really a sincere seeker. So see, even though I remain pervading this entire universe as the Supreme Self in my unmanifest form, people tend to not recognize me when I am at the level of the beings. When I'm conditioned by the conditioning, people tend to not recognize me. In other words, if in its purest sense, if somebody says this is what it is, I'll recognize it. But when we change the constitution, we can say, oh, this cotton used to be cotton, I can recognize what cotton is. But when it becomes cloth, I don't recognize it, where the cotton is. Now it is conditioned by its present state. Even though nothing has changed, from the cotton to cotton cloth, nothing has changed. But I fail to recognize the cotton in a cotton cloth because I'm not tuned to how to see that cotton into the cotton cloth. So Bhagavan said, people tend to not recognize me. And all these names and forms are only there because of my own self. So any name or a form or manifestation you see in this world is nothing but my own manifestation. But because of our own identification with a particular form, a particular notion of what we think it is, we don't recognize it. Your goal would be to always have that constant awareness of what is the essence of the true self. And once you live in that constantly, Bhagavan says that is the ananya bhakti. Bhagavan says in whichever form a devotee worships me, I manifest to him in that form. Every race and every country have their own god in their own image. You know, white men see God in a white man, and brown man sees a brown man, or black man sees him as a black man. Because of our own conditioning. The Bhagavan says, whichever form you worship me, I'll reward you. Then we have seen devotees of the Pitrus go to Pitru, devotees of the Deva goes to Devas, my Bhaktas come to me. That's the Ananya Bhakti Bhagavan talks about. Ananya without other, not having two separate thoughts about what is the nature of the Lord is. This is also Bhagavan and that is also Bhagavan. Having that dichotomy in my mind can create confusion. But once I come to know that everything and entire manifestation is nothing but himself, including my own self, that becomes ananya bhakti. Everywhere and everything, I constantly remember, even though the thing looks evil, thing looks ugly, thing looks bad, I still say that the manifestation is only possible if the self is pervading through it. It just that in relationship to what I want to see as good, it looks bad. It's a relative relationship, but without that relationship, in the pristine self. Bhagavan said, Samoham Sarvabhuteshu, and therefore I am same to all of them. For us, this may be this is good and that's bad. For Bhagavan, that's his own self. In my own body, my right leg or left leg, it's same to me. One is broken and one is completely healthy, it's still my own self. I do recognize its own limitation, but I don't make any discrimination between the two legs. In the same way, Bhagavan said, everyone, no matter what their qualities are, Samoham Sarva Bhuteshu, Name Dvesti, Nachame Priya. I don't hate anybody, nor one is closer to me. But one who is my bhakta is close to me, and I am close to him. That's because of the identification. Apichet Sudurachara. Even if the person is the most evildoer. Now this is actually for all of us to recognize that it is very easy for us to see divinity in something which is beautiful, of good actions. Everything good in this world, we can see divinity in it. We don't really have much problem with that. I just got a call from Dan Smith, who reached Siddhubari today. So it's night there now. He just reached Siddhubari, and he called me. The Neelam Siddhubari Swamiji's ashram in Himachal Pradesh. Can't explain to you how awesome this experience is. Sitting in my balcony with the valley in front of me in Himalaya, and torrential rain is pouring down. And he said, it is so peaceful and so divine experience. Wish that all of you were here doing the class. You know. It's very easy to see that. But you were the guy in that torrential rain suffering. Then you won't see that divinity. Because anything with unconducive, we completely exclude it out of the divinity. Something which is beautiful, it is easier. To make that distinction clear, these verses are there in Bhagavad Gita or in any teachings, in any religion, say. Api chet sudurachara, even the person is the greatest evildoer. Sudurachara, Sanskrit language is beautiful. The word is su, which generally is for something which is great, better. The best among the evildoers. Sudurachara, even if you are the worst of an evildoer, bhajate mam ananya bhag, but he worships me one without the other. In other words, one who then identifies, even though his actions in the past were all bad and all evil. As a society, we have already condemned him, saying he has no future for it. There is nothing he can do. For a long time, our penal system had no reform system. Now most of the country see the criminal as someone who can be reformed. So all the jails are not called just that, but we say it's a place for reforming them. So we see that the potential in any criminal to be reformed to a well-adjusted citizen in the country. And I used to be part of that LMR group. We have examined each aspect of the society, at least in Richmond. There's a whole organization, non-profit. They try to help the people who have just served their time in jail and come out because it's so difficult to adjust in the society. Once you have this criminal record, nobody wants to hire you, nobody wants to do anything. But in reality, that's what they need the most. If you don't give him job, if you don't support him, then he's going to be more criminal. So there are people who recognize and they have organization to support them and to help them. So they will recommend them to an organization, take responsibility for them, so they can get jobs and get adjusted to the society. Once he said, one he has rightly resolved that he wants to be a good citizen, he should be allowed in a society just as any other citizen, in spite of what he did in the past. Because now he has paid for it, his sin, he wants to be a good person. Bhagavan says, same way, an evildoer, once he has identified with the Supreme Self, and now acting accordingly, he should be considered sadhu eva samantavya. He should be now considered a sadhu, not an evildoer. He's a good person, godly person. Because he said, samyak vyavastito hi saha. He is now rightly resolved. In spite of his past, his mind is now completely resolved about his identity with the Supreme Self. He should be considered a godly person. Because we know from our experience that our actions are driven by our thoughts. As long as his thoughts were evil, he was doing evil deeds. Now his thoughts are divine. He will be only doing the divine acts. Therefore, he should be considered a sadhu. In contrast to what we normally think when we think about theory of karma, that all actions once performed, it can never get out of it. Of course, you cannot get out of it from its results. But once you've resolved to right, all those account is nullified. It's not coming to haunt you. Unlike in a normal society, as we said, once you have the record of your criminal, it's very difficult to get over it. But it's not impossible. We know even in our day-to-day life, people who have some blemish on their record, they excel and become great people. As far as the spirituality is concerned, there is no exception that just because you have not done good things right from your beginning of your life, that you are barred from becoming good. In the next verse it says, Kshipram bhavati dharmatma sasvach santim nigachati. Why is he should be now considered a sadhu? Because once your mind is rightly resolved, once the impurities in your mind which was creating this confusion about what is good and bad, therefore you are resorting to the evil actions, is now resolved, you will quickly, no time, become dharmaatma, dharmaatma, the self which is acting in its own dharma. We have said everyone has its own dharma. The essential nature of things and being is dharma. Dharmatma is the one who is acting according to his own self. Once I'm identified with the Supreme Self as myself and not other than me, I have become dharmatma. Because my essential nature is that divine self. I've now recognized it. I will be acting according to my dharma. Therefore, I'm a dharmatma. Sasvat shantim nigachyate. And therefore, it achieves that eternal peace. Between two wars, it's what we call a peacetime. We had a bloody war for a long time, and then suddenly say, now we will have that truce. Yeah, we had truce. We call it a peacetime. But he said that peace is only temporary because inside you still have the hatred for each other. We have called for peace or no actions, but inside we still have the hatred. So that peace is impermanent. This peace he is talking about is, I now have no distinction between this is good and this is evil. Or this is me and that's the world. This duality of I, this limited being and this world is separate. We constantly have this fear this world is unfair. World wants to take advantage of me. World is trying to get me. World is trying to take away what I have. So we are always on the guard for securing our security. Once that fear is gone, that I and the world are at odds with each other, that I and world are the manifestation of the same self, Bhagavan said, you achieve that eternal peace. There is no one to take away myself. Myself is everywhere. How can it take away myself? And therefore it says, Kshipram bhavati dharmatma sasvat santim nigachati. He attains that eternal peace which cannot be disturbed by what's happening outside. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhaktah praneshyate. And Swamiji says there is the emphasis on know this, pratijanihi, know for certain. There is an emphasis that not just, well, let me tell you what can happen, but it says, know for certain that name bhaktah praneshyate, my devotee never perishes. Obviously, in a normal term, we say, well, he was making progress and then he lost everything. We were making progress in our understanding, and then suddenly we probably lost all the enthusiasm. Well, what happened, Neil? You were trying to learn music. Yeah, I practiced for a while, but then I said, well, it's not for me. You know, there's other things better for me. So obviously I lost my chance to become a good singer or a good musician. Me bhakta, one who has once identified with me, he will never perish. Once he has identified with the self, experience that peace, experience that oneness with the self, he will never go back to the old rut of this is me and that's world. And this world is out to get me. There is no one is out to get me. Mamhi partha vipashritya ye apishyuhu papa yonayaha striyaha vaishyaha tathashudraha te apiyantim paramgatim. And as Meena said last time, this is a controversial verse simply because any time you classify a group of people as inferior, you obviously do not like that. Nobody likes to be classified as papayoni. Well, let's see the meaning first. Mamhi partha vipashritya ye api shuhu papayoniya. Those who take refuge in me, also those who are from the papayoni, of the sinful birth. Then he says, the women, vaishyaha, merchants basically, and shudraha, the laborer. Yanti paramga, they as well can attain the supreme goal. Supreme goal is to have the eternal peace, one with the Supreme Self. Anytime somebody says you are in an inferior class, whoever we classified is going to revolt and say, why do you consider me inferior? But if you find out that that's not the intention of classifying you, to belittle you, people will be clamoring to be in that class. I'll give you a good example. I have in my lifetime experienced both sides of the situation. I grew up in India, which is as a Hindu, so I'm a part of a majority. 80% are Hindu. I'm a Brahmin, so grew up as a Brahmin. In those days, at least when I was growing up in 50s and 60s, it was still pretty prevalent to respect Brahmins. I grew up in a street. One side, they're all Vaishyas. All, you know, merchant class, pretty wealthy people, very powerful. Other side were all what we call it a machi and koli, and the street vendors. I was growing up, I'll go to those people's house and they will not give me anything to eat. Nilkanth, you are a Brahmin, you cannot eat our house. We are machi and we are koli. And then we go on this side, they will say, oh no, you are a Brahmin, so you should be learning Bhagavad Gita. So I have seen a respect for that. And the scheduled caste in India was obviously, we thought, was the caste which you are saying. After a while, I realized, as I grew up, that you get an admission in medical school, if you are on a scheduled caste, you can have 35% in your exam and you still can get an admission. People like me, who was a Brahmin, had a 75% and was not a chance to get an admission in. I wish I were in a scheduled caste. There were people who are in the periphery of the scheduled caste, who are not included in scheduled caste. They were applying and reapplying to include into scheduled caste. Because now they don't see that as an inferior. It's a privileged class, which is getting the higher privileges. Job quickly. You can apply in the bank. You have 10 jobs. 4 are reserved for the scheduled caste. For 6, 80% of the 90% of the people are competing. For the 4 jobs, only 10% of people are competing. Which class do you really want to be? Then obviously I come to this country, now I'm in a minority. And we say, well, you are a disadvantaged minority business enterprise. I don't take that as an insult. I say, I want to be a minority because that advantage. People may give me some, consideration. But then also there was the dichotomy in my thinking in this country. When I used to work for a large company, they will say, Neil, you have to assign a portion of your work for minority because it's required. And you have to, as a manager, to make sure that you compensate for it because that money is gone in a drain. You're not going to get anything out of them. They are not capable. They are not competent. That money, you just write it off. But in that, whatever remaining portion, you have to make sure your project makes profit. That's what it is. I'll plan that. Then I became myself a firm. I became a minority firm. And now I say, oh, look, don't give me work because I'm a minority. I'm a competent firm, but happens to be a minority firm. So I'm the best of the both the world. You can check off the box, says I have given a work to minority, but you can also check off and say, I've given a work to a firm which is very competent and has excelled to that level. So I can now see, after all these life experiences, this labeling can only bother you if you identify with that inferior notion of what the label means. So when somebody says, these are papa yoni hai, right away I will consider myself as insulted. But if I see why they are labeled that way, for a reason, then I may not feel, I probably see it as it is. So what Bhagwan does here is tell you the truth as is. Even if you are disadvantaged by your situation. And there are two types of situation Bhagwan says here. First of all, if the society has given you this labeling as you will never be able to learn this thing. For a long time, people used to consider that women are not good at mathematics and science. Tell me if that's not true. This used to be the case in all Western countries and in India. Women are good at arts and other sciences, but not for the mathematics and engineering. In 70s and 60s, when I was in college, there was hardly one girl in entire engineering. I used to feel pity for her, because out of this 4,900 students, she's the only one girl in engineering. But she had the courage to decide that that's the profession for me. Even though everyone has said that engineering is not for girls, that's what I like, I want to become an engineer. People like that charted the way for the other women to become what they want to become. And obviously, now we know, women can be astronauts, they can be anything. But society didn't give them that chance at the time. Even if the society has disadvantaged you, you still can rise above that if you are determined by ananya bhakti, by that single-pointed focus on what I want to achieve, you will achieve that. Or from the other point of view is, by the circumstances, my mind and intellect are not capable of seeing that oneness. By the sanskaras. So he says, now if you look at it, and I read Swami Yogananda's Bhagavad Gita just for a minute, and there what he did is he put a comma after papa yoni. So papa yoni is one classification, striya is another, vaishya is another, shudra is another. The most of them say these are the examples of papa yoni. So now you can look at it in any which way your mind will allow you to look at it. If you are born in a papa yoni, papa yoni means sinful birth. Sinful birth is that which creates negative tendencies on my mind and intellect. Papa is nothing but, in Vedanta, a negative impression on my mind and intellect, which stops me from evolving into a higher being. For by circumstances, if I was born in a situation where there are negative impressions in my mind, there are communities we have seen in that movie which was made by Swadhyay, the whole community of thieves. Their whole culture is right from the childhood to train the child as a thief. So what would your child would aspire to become? A thief. Greatest among all the thieves. That was the culture in that village. For some reason, if you are born in that situation, you are in a papa yoni. Negative impression will start in your mind right from the beginning of your birth. That's all your parents knew, and that's what they are going to teach you. So that's a papa yoni. Or you are born as a woman. Natural tendency, as Swamiji said, is women is to attach, in a clinging attachment to things and beings. But that's given by nature so that they can take care of their children. But you are at a disadvantage in another situation where you're trying to evolve into a higher being. Even though nature has given you the advantage of attachment so that you take care of your children, it gives you a disadvantage in one situation. One ability I have gives me advantage in one situation, same ability gives me disadvantage in other. I may be a muscular man, 7.5 feet tall, gives me advantage in certain things, but not in all situations. There was a marketing seminar I had taken. The one example was there was one guy who was a salesman and a very efficient way, but he will never be able to close the sale. Then he realized that what makes me unsuccessful is I'm 6.5 feet tall, pretty well built, and a towering personality. He walks into the client's office and he is a towering personality. The client is already in defensive. He wants to get this guy out of his office as quickly as possible. So he hardly is listening to him, even though this guy may be telling all the good things. He says, how can I overcome this thing? Even though this towering personality is advantage, but now I can't make any sale. He suddenly figured out that he will enter into anybody's room, he will fumble or stumble or something, the guy has to help him out. So, oh, Mr. such and such, can I help you? Oh, no, no, I'm fine. He puts the other guy into command, control. Then now he needs my help. And he said, after that, it's easy to make a sale. Once my client feels he's in control and not me, it's very easy for him to make his sale. So Bhagavan said there may be one situation where as a woman has this softer emotional attachment nature, you are at a disadvantage. You can overcome that too, Bhagavan. Or a Vaishya, I'm programmed to see profits in anything. Why do I want to be in this business if it's not going to make money? Actually, I read that first time in Zambia. This is not a non-profit business. However, we may be functioning like I may not be making profit. Doesn't mean that I want it to be non-profit. So Bhagavan says, Vaishya always wants to equate things into whether it's profitable or non-profitable. And that may be, again, a disadvantage because I may start out and say, should I really do this realization thing? Because what is the benefit in the end? Or Shudra. My mind has not evolved to a point where it thinks about higher things. I just want to be day to day. You give me something to do, give me enough to eat and I'm fine. Even I have this disadvantage, my mind is programmed this way. Bhagavan said if once an awareness takes place that there is nothing but myself, nothing but the Supreme Self that exists and makes everyone empowered to do what they are doing, you can overcome that. And they can also, yanti param gatim, they can also achieve this supreme state of achievement.
Om sarve bhavantu sukhina, sarve santu niramayaha, sarve bhadrani pasyantu, ma kaschid dukha bhag bhavet. Om Shantihi, Shantihi, Shantihi. Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.